listening to the Goal Digger Guide podcast. I'm your host, Breanne Burke. I'm here to help you to become the ambitious, confident, daring woman you are meant to be. I'll provide you with a no BS approach on tips, tricks, and takeaways that you will be able to implement into your life to further strive in becoming the best version of yourself. Learn to show up with your shoulders back, your head held high, while being unapologetically you. Attract what is meant to be yours through self-love, education, insight, and inspiration. Now let's get real AF. Hello and welcome back to the Goal Digger Guide podcast. I am your host, Breanne Burke, and I am excited to be here. And I honestly just need to acknowledge the real of what my life is right now. It is Saturday night or evening at 6 p.m. and I'm recording a podcast because it's on my heart, it's on my mind. I'm in the midst of currently redoing some of the curriculum within CMA, which I'm so excited to launch and make available to all of you. The lessons, the learnings, and what is going to come through is just, oh, chef's kiss. But I'm in the midst of this like flow of sharing information, and this particular topic really resonates with me, really hits home, and I wanted to bring it to the pod. And I just want to speak to what my life is because it's a weekend, folks. I literally just dropped off my partner, Tommy, at the GO station. He's going to the city. He's going to have a party night. And if you found me a year ago, I would be right there with him. I would not be caught dead staying home alone with nothing to do, no one to socialize with while he's going out or people in my life are going out and having a good time till whatever time that may be. And there is so much fun to that. There's nothing to hate on that. There's a time, there's a place, all in moderation. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure I will be there, but not at this point in my life, not at this point in my life. So we've been doing some really fun kind of activities in result of really changing up my own habits and interests. I have no desire to really sit at a bar and just like have a drink, or very rarely, where before that would be a very common thing for us to do on a date night. Again, as I said, all in moderation. I also do really love a good vibey restaurant and really love good food and socializing. I'm definitely partially extroverted for sure. But in results of me really changing the structure of my life, I'm very grounded right now with what I'm doing. I have the same wake up time. For the most part, I have the same bedtime. I have the same routine in both morning and night. Whether it's a weekend or a weekday, I do not care. It's what really feels good and very supportive for me. So in result of that, I've kind of been coming up with some more creative ways as to spend my time and our time as a couple. So we've done some fun date nights lately. I usually do something like once a week. And last week, I did a date day activity day for him and I. We went to Toronto. I took him to Othership, which is this like sauna and cold plunge in Yorkville. And then we went to this like really bougie restaurant. And then we went to this like immersive Earth Arcadia experience, which was very cool. And then we came home, which was great. Last night, I booked us a pottery class together. And I gotta be honest, I think he was a little bit hesitant. He's like, yeah, if you want to do that, that's cool. But also if you like want to go with girlfriends or something, that's also cool. And I was like, well, it's probably going to be something that I do multiple times. And I would love to give this a go. You might be the only man there, but you're a feminist and we're progressive as fuck as a couple. So like, let's give it a go. And he's like, yeah. Okay, cool. We go and it was a blast. It was 2.5 hours. It was such a great way to spend a Friday night. We had fun. It was creative. I got way more into it than I thought I would. I learned a lot and I honestly want to go back. It's really cool. This really beautiful studio in our hometown. It's really busy and I knew it was popular because it's honestly always booked out, but you can host parties there and there's drop-in nights and wine nights on Friday and Saturday, and you can actually get a membership there like how you would a gym membership. And I'm like, you know what? That's not a bad way to spend like a 3-month membership going there once a week. It's creative. It feels good. You're in flow. You're not on your phone or anything because your hands are literally covered in clay. And it feels so good to be using your mind and also your hands. So as a couple, we've been doing that and we've been cooking a lot and we take turns cooking and we really like split the household like items. That feels really good for us right now, kind of with our schedule. But in regards to myself, it is a Saturday. And yeah, I dropped him off at the GO station, went for a walk. I've been recording curriculum for CMA all day. I'm going to do this podcast. I think I'm going to do some EFT tapping tonight. And I'm probably going to do paint by numbers and listen to another podcast. And you know what? There might be some Harry Potter on the horizon. I really like Harry Potter. I am one of those people, for those of you that are not. I get it, but I was a part of that culty like community when I was younger. I've always been big on magic, anything magical. And I think that actually speaks to how I am as an adult today. Like, I loved Lord of the Rings. I loved anything like wizard and witches and any type of magic. When I was doing make believe as a kid, it was always around magic. I remember my girlfriends and I, we would pretend when I was like really little that there was like the witch's house, and it was like, I think it was like a hydro plant near my parents' house, but we would like go there and we'd pretend it's like a witch's house. And that was just, I don't know, my jam. I don't know where I got that from, but I absolutely love it. So I might do that tonight, cozy up by the fire, have some tea, who knows? But regardless, I'm just letting you know, my life has changed a lot. Tomorrow, I planned to go to yoga in the morning, and I'm probably going to attempt Costco and do some serious meal prep. And that lights me up. Like, that feels so comforting. It just feels like it sets me up for success, you know? And this plays so well on today's episode, because clearly, if you can pick up what I am throwing down in probably the last 8 months of my podcast episodes, we are slowing it down. We're changing our habits. And I just know old keys don't open new doors. You want something different, you got to do something different. So it's been a work in progress. By no means is it linear. There's a lot of up leveling and a lot of challenges and a lot of three steps forward, one step back, but it feels really good. And with that being said, today's episode, we are talking about why we are in the midst of a mental epidemic. And there's a part of me that honestly feels like it's my duty to share this information, to get it in your ears. Just even if you take one golden nugget from it, if you apply one thing to your life, if it just resonates with you overall, or it just makes you a little bit more open-minded moving forward, however it best hits home with you, I am happy with. Or hey, if you don't agree with it at all, that's also okay. But I sometimes hesitate from being too controversial or too polarizing in fear of stepping on people's toes, just because of the work that I do and how much I care about human beings and how much I care for people to feel seen and heard and understood. But I'm also now kind of in a place where I know that I'm not doing the world any good if I'm not speaking my true opinion, and not everybody is going to be on board with what I say. I am past the point of caring if I'm liked. That is okay. I know not everybody will like me, and that is all right. You know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. However, I still care about how I make people feel. So I feel as though that sometimes makes me filter what I have to share, but I just want to call this as this is. Like, straight up, I was so passionate when recording my CMA curriculum content that I'm like, I need to bring this to the pod. Like, those are students that have invested in themselves, that have set themselves up for success, that are there to learn, that are high achievers and are so excited to immerse themselves in the course that I have presented to them. And my podcast community is no different, man. I'm just like, what am I doing? I need to be like, this is how it is. Let me know what you think. So we're in the midst of a mental health epidemic. I feel as though this isn't overly shocking for people. And I think on one hand, there's a lot of beauty to it in the sense, not that people are struggling, that is not beautiful in the slightest, but the fact that self-awareness, self-development, resources are more readily available in result of it being talked about more. So although we are progressing, right, as a world globally, we are progressing in the right direction for this area for the most part. On one hand, I also feel like we've gone a little bit too extreme, like how we seem to do everything, like very extreme. We learn through extremes as human beings, right? Like, that's why we have crazy fads like dieting and like extreme exercise in this way or that way. And I should be in soft girl era it's hard girl era, hustle era, all these things. It's like you're one or the other. Like, no, 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 that's not how we live. We live in a gray area. You're able to change at any given moment. I can be like super happy, go-getter, doing all the things one day, and I could be like a crying puddle the next day, or I could just be chilling on my couch watching Harry Potter. Who knows? Like, you can do all of those things. You can wear multiple hats. You are not to fit in a box. You are very complex, and we're ever evolving people. So with all of these resources and discussion around mental health becoming more apparent, there's a lot of beauty in that. However, there's also this whole fixation around it, particularly I feel like with the younger generation. Although it's fantastic that it's come to the forefront, we've honestly used some of this information as a little bit of a crutch and a little bit as a way to like identify yourself. And then you kind of stick to that. And it keeps you in a little bit of a healing trap, which is what I literally just recorded on. If you go back in my podcast, either the last one or the one before that, I literally titled it Healing Can Be a Trap. Even though we're all about healing, but don't get it mixed up that it can very much be a vortex that keeps you there because the world thrives off people being ill, right? That's how businesses make money. That's how companies make money, because they create products for what is not working for people. All right, now I am going to specifically speak on the concept around particularly like anxiety in a dysregulated nervous system. That is where we're going to approach the mental health epidemic. Obviously, there's a lot of different factors, a lot of different facets, a lot of different like streams of what someone could be struggling with. And I am not a doctor. I'm not a naturopath. I'm not a professor. I am not trying to give any type of medical advice. I would just like to put a fat disclaimer on this. And mental health is a really large, wide umbrella. There's many different things that can fall into that, whether that be anxiety, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, multiple personality disorder, like so many different things, okay? So many different things. But I am specifically talking about like mental health in regards to anxiety and particularly low mood. This seems to be kind of the mainstream items that everybody experiences to one degree or another. So that is how we are approaching this. And the fact that this has risen so much across people, it's become extremely apparent. And I want to acknowledge the root as to why this is happening. So let's start to break this down. We are in the midst of a mental health epidemic. Again, this can look many different ways. However, the problem is we don't necessarily understand the root as to why this is happening, or at least the majority of people don't understand the root as to why this is happening. However, I'm going to present to you some facts, some realizations, some learning, some lessons that will make complete sense as to what we are missing in this day and age. Firstly, being the foundation of systemic balance. Systemic balance is ultimately when we have all the systems within ourselves, have control systems, and they are in place and they're doing what they need to do, right? They're doing what they are supposed to do. So understand that everything in our body, mind, and soul all work intricately together. And a lot of the problem is we fixate on one area when really they all play a vital role and impact on each other in different ways, right? So we start to target and identify with one specific thing that we're feeling or experiencing or going through, but really it's actually integrated into so many different other parts of our body. So everything you consume, whether that be products, medication, food and drink, data, environment, how you participate in relationships, what you witness growing up, all play a role in how your senses, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your taste, your touch, perceive the data it is being presented in how it is processed. But because through human evolution, right, human beings are not equipped to live in this world that is so fast-paced, one where everything is at rapid speed, everything is urgent, everything is super overstimulated. We literally walk around with phones that allow us to access anyone on the planet in a matter of seconds. Like, if you actually think about that, how wild is that? We have constant instant gratification, instant satisfaction. So our dopamine hits are coming at such an instantaneous speed that it almost becomes addictive, and we've developed like very little attention spans. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Like, you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, maybe you're right. Like, maybe I do have a very short attention span. Like, you're talking to your partner, they're always on their phone and they're like, what? You repeat yourself 1,000 times. Maybe you're noticing this with your kids, right? Like, you have to understand the pattern that's happening here. So as I already said, we process information through our senses, but because of the information we are processing, it is straight up dysregulating our nervous system, and many of us don't know how to slow down. And sorry to break it to you, we're actually blindly addicted to stress. And I know what this is like. I know the symptoms, I know the behavior, because I definitely was addicted to stress. I loved it. I'm a high achiever. And a lot of high achievers, if you're there, put your hand up. I see you. I hear you. I understand you. I get it. It feels so fucking good to have a to-do list and check things off and get stuff done and be productive. That feels so good. But we start to be in that state. That starts to become our normal state versus the parasympathetic state, which is very rest, digest, and relax. We're in the sympathetic state, which is always prepping us to fight. So this is happening when we are awake or asleep. What you are when you're awake, you are when you're asleep. Notice if you are someone that is waking up in the middle of the night, right? And it's usually around 2 or 3, or it's at least around the same time every single night. That is because your cortisol is spiking. It is waking you up like, whoa, we haven't been in fight or flight for a while. So like, let's get this going. This is what's happening here. So when you have systemic imbalance, it gives rise to your symptoms, aka anxiety, upset stomach, racing thoughts, depersonalization, sweating, racing heart, all of those things. And many people think when you have an anxiety disorder or like a very intense level of anxiety, it is a mental illness, right? And that is because I get it. It feels so in your head. It feels so in your head. It feels like brain fog. It feels like confusion. It feels like rapid racing thoughts. You can't catch your breath. Like, your mind is just all over the place. You're a complete space cadet and really can't engage in the present moment. But actually, it is really a way of your body responding, and in the way that it should be responding, because your mind has told your body that you are in fear, that you are in threat. So you are responding to a fear response, getting your body ready to fight, flight, or freeze. But the problem is, and let this be, maybe if you have only one takeaway from this episode, let this be it, okay? Take a note. The problem is it becomes irrational responses to fear because we've been overloading our system, where we catch ourselves feeling anxious and dysregulated during times that don't necessarily require it. Does this sound familiar? So I'm here to tell you, if you practice something enough, it becomes your norm. It becomes your baseline. Very similar to your thoughts, right? We know this. If you want to learn about NLP and neuroplasticity, go back to my previous episodes. I talk all about this. Ultimately, our subconscious mind houses all of our beliefs, all of our experiences, everything we've ever thought throughout our entire life without us even being aware of it. However, think of neural pathways in your subconscious mind as like linked chains. And the more you think something, the stronger that belief gets. We can have up to like 65,000 thoughts a day. We can have up to, right? And usually around 90% of those thoughts, give or take a little bit, are on repeat. So if you're thinking the same negative shit every single day, that is going to become stronger and stronger, and it's going to become more difficult to break. So you're taking in this data, you're taking in this information, you have a thought, your subconscious mind responds with an emotion, and it's like, this is fear. This triggers ultimately your bodily system to go off, and then you start to feel anxiety. So these are adrenal response side effects. I know this sounds familiar, right? Like, you start to feel anxious at times where you feel like you're not necessarily supposed to, or you don't need to, or you're just feeling a little bit stressed and you're trying to kind of brush it off. Everything that happens in your body in its entirety is controlled by a central computer, aka our fabulous brains, right? Your brain, the neurology from your brain goes down through the spine, through your nervous system. All the signals get sent out from your brain then to make decisions. And once the decision is made, your body responds either consciously or unconsciously. Let me give you like a very clear, mundane example. So when your body needs fuel, your body sends a signal to your brain, I need fuel. Then your brain makes a decision that I am thirsty or hungry. Then the conscious brain, the part of the brain that we are very aware of, then responds being like, I'm going to go get myself something to eat. You eat it, you digest it, then your body turns off the signal for hunger. That is literally how it works when processing any given information or data around us. Now, with anxiety specifically, this is the disorder of fear. Fear activates adrenaline, which activates anxiety, right? Like when we feel dysregulated, it is because we are having all of these symptoms. We have adrenaline going left, right, and center. Like we feel like we could sprint and do a marathon. Adrenaline is produced from our adrenal glands. And one, it's actually two. I am not a doctor, but I've done a lot of research. I've worked with a lot of professionals. I've fact-checked this information multiple times. I'm just giving you the breakdown, okay? From a very high level. So we have two adrenal glands. One is next to the pancreas and one is on the top of the right kidney. Now, think of your body when I'm saying this. This is nowhere near your head. Nowhere near your head. There is nothing wrong with your brain. Like unless you are in the midst of experiencing severe depression on its own, right? Severe depression, or you've had a brain injury or something like this. Again, that calls for something different, but I am talking about like generalized anxiety, which everyone seems to be experiencing at a very high level, and then very low mood in result of that, right? Because you feel conflicted with how you're feeling. You are thinking to yourself, I should not be feeling this way. I want to be feeling this way. So when this happens, it's activated by your brain. Adrenaline is released from your adrenal glands, and then that travels through your body, creating all the symptoms of anxiety and stress, right? A lot of stress. It is priming you for action, like your lungs, your muscles, your digestive tract, your heart. You empty your bowels and your bladder. Notice when you start to be like really anxious or really stressed, all of a sudden you're like, I gotta go to the washroom, man. It's because your body is truly responding to that fear, to the fear, because you're telling it, there's something wrong. I am at threat right now. So through neuroplasticity and changing the incoming data and information you get, will change this and turn this irrational fear response off. And that is why it's so important to understand this and do this work. We want to be able to go into the fight, freeze, or flight mode when necessary. When necessary. It is a survival tactic that was programmed in us when human beings were created. We need it. It's required. That's why we have the sympathetic system. However, the problem is that has become our baseline because we live in a world where we are constantly absorbing data and information that makes us stay in this state. It makes us stay in this place of constantly feeling threatened, constantly feeling stressed, constantly taking in information that does not serve us and actually does the opposite, and it dysregulates us. Our nervous system, very similar to our subconscious mind, cannot decipher between what a threat is and what a threat isn't. It's not going to make you a liar. So when you're nervous system is going off like that, it doesn't actually know, is a tiger in front of me? Or are you just walking through a supermarket and you heard something triggering and all of a sudden you're super dysregulated and you're like, I need to get the hell out of here. Or you're just feeling extremely uncomfortable for whatever given reason. So I truly believe this is why we're in the midst of a mental health epidemic. A, because people don't understand the actual basic science that we were taught in high school behind all of this, right? So they don't have the knowledge and they're constantly fed all this other stuff by people in authority, which don't get me wrong, I am so grateful and thankful that I live in a place where I have access to the resources that I have and the medicines that I could possibly need in the future or my family or friends could need. Like I'm so grateful and so aware of my privilege around that. I am very aware, but there is a lack of actual insight to what the root cause is. And it's the world that we're living and the lack of boundaries that we have. So the way you can actually change this, and the way you could start rewiring your mind to better support you, and the way you can start calming your nervous system, A, you could start doing small things like being very mindful of like the products that you're using, the foods that you're consuming. That is a massive one. Foods is a huge one. But slowly shifting to more toxic things, but also, man, straight up just like eliminating more stress in your life. And I know that's easier said than done. I get it. Some of you are single parents or young parents, or you have a lot of challenges and a lot of stress going on in your life. And I'm not discarding that. I'm not downplaying that. I get it. Life will life regardless of how you're feeling at times. But what you have to remember, if something is practiced enough, it becomes a disorder to a degree, right? It becomes automatic. It becomes the automatic response to things. So that is what's happened with a lot of us in response to our world. We are walking around with a phone constantly, just looking at information that doesn't serve us. So this is why people are feeling the way they're feeling. In a very general way, like not to get too specific, but this is why we're in the midst of this mental health epidemic and why people don't know how to change it. And on top of knowledge, the next biggest thing is like support, working with people that can actually support you in this area, whether that be a practitioner of some sort or leaning on like your partner or being very open about how you're feeling. And then lastly is also structure, which is huge. Structure in your environment. Like what I explained at the opening of this episode, like how I drastically have shifted my life because that is what I need right now because we are working on calming this nervous system, baby. That is what I need. And structure is a big thing. Like I kind of know what I'm doing all throughout my day and I have flexibility within that. But also there's like some staples and some non-negotiables that are just really, really important for me. So what I really want to encourage you to do is in any way possible, and I know this is going to differ and I don't mean this to be generic whatsoever, but I want you to try to reduce your workload by like 30%, 30%. And I know particularly for women, and I know a lot of you listening are of the female gender, that there's a lot of invisible work that is not talked about, which could probably be another podcast episode. I'm talking invisible work about all the details that you pick up on that nobody seems to acknowledge or see, but you're very aware of, and it takes up your time. I see you, I hear you, I understand you. And I love you and support you. So what can you do to reduce your workload? Is that speaking to your boss? Is that speaking to your partner? Do you have the ability to delegate anymore? Do you need to cut some corners in one area of your life? Like, how can you reduce your workload? And in response to this 30%, we are going to fill that 30% with fun. Having more fucking fun. Stop stressing so much. And when was the last time you like laughed until you cried? Like I am talking just having fun wherever possible. Like how I went to pottery last night, like having a good time and doing something like that, just because allowing yourself to be really bad at something for no reason and just be like, I'm just going to give this a go. Maybe I'm going to be bad at it, but I'm going to love it and I'm going to keep doing it. You should see this spoon that I made last night. It is absurd. Tom was laughing at me. I'm like, I love this spoon. I don't care what it looks like. So we are trying for less struggle, which will equal more results. So how can you lighten up the stress load? And that might require more work in the upfront. Like, I gotta be honest. I know all you listeners are high achievers, but not everyone might be type A. So your life might be a little bit chaotic. And you know what? That's okay. There's a lot of beauty in chaos. But some things that carry heavy stressors, like your finances, maybe the workload of the house, maybe how bills are paid. Like, how can you streamline things in your life to make it genuinely less stressful? I know that there's things that you can do. You can habit stack. So habits can be challenging, particularly in the first 5 days. But if you start stacking habits, like while my coffee is brewing, I'm to chug this amount of water. You know, that's a habit stack right there. How can you do that in a way to better support you? We are not people that are constantly needing to be fixed. We are whole and complete as we are. But if you're not feeling your best and you have tried all the things, if you work really hard and you want to do better, I'm here to tell you that is possible. And we're in this state collectively as a whole for a reason. We are coming out of a 2-year pandemic still. There's a lot of learnings and lessons to come from that. And from a technology perspective, we are going at such a rapid speed. I can't even say the damn word that nobody can keep up. Nobody can keep up. We're so overstimulated. And there is a lot of ways to better support you. If you are ready to level the fuck up, if you're ready to reinvent yourself, if you are ready to up level your self-worth, if you're just like spinning your wheels, you feel like you're doing all the things, but you're just like, I still don't feel like I'm getting it, because I gotta be honest, your ceiling is as high as your self-worth, man. As much as you feel like you're worthy of it, that's where you're going to peak. I am here to support you. I'm here to help you. And this is because I've been down this path more times than I would like to acknowledge. And this is everything I am teaching in the CMA relaunch. No joke. It is my love. It is my holy grail. It's my holy Bible. Honestly, I want it to be something that students can take and go through and experience and immerse themselves in and transform through and then come back to it when they need to. Like, ugh. I'm just so excited. It's going to be relaunching in the next month. If this is something that speaks to you, you want to learn more of this, you want to get the goods, you know, we're in the golden era of information. Everything is available at our fingertips. Everything is available online. But I have what you need to know. If you want to get from A to Z, if you want the transformation, if you want the accelerated version, CMA is for you. I love you all so much. If you can, please do your girl a solid. This needs to get into more people's ears. If you know somebody will benefit from this episode, please share it. Share it on your story and tag me. Leave a 5-star review. Leave a written review. It really helps support the podcast grow, and it helps me show up every single week and pour my heart and soul into this podcast to provide for you all. It would be so greatly appreciated. Again, I love you, and until next week. Thanks for tuning in to the Gold Digger Guide podcast. If you're looking to find more ways on how to up-level your life, you can find me on Instagram at Breanne Burke, where I share all my tips and tricks on everything mindset and productivity. I am here to serve you, so please share a review, let me know what you want to hear, and let's grow together.